Father, I pray this morning for Jazz to recover quickly. Lord God, give her the eye of the tiger when it comes to PT, that you pour out a blessing from heaven that they could not contain. Lord God, they are generous givers. Lord, help them be generous receivers during this time. Lord, I pray for Brother William as he steps up as a disciple and makes a branded decision today. Father, and I pray for those who are spontaneously that may be God tugging at their hearts. Lord, you tug them all the way in for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am so excited. It's been a good service already. God's presence has been here. It's just been good, you know. Just enjoy his presence. Today, we're in Red Letters, Season 3. I think it's the finale. I think so. It may be a little longer. I didn't really calculate on the calendar how I was supposed to. And Pastor Jody isn't speaking next week. I am again. But I thought she was. So I was like, I'll do the finale. So I might do the whole finale. We'll see what happens. You know. But I really want it to be impactful. So I'm not going to run through it. And I've been really good with time. I've been getting everybody out really early. You've been smiling on your way out the door. It's been great. It's, you know, it's wonderful. I just need a little more. Look, 10-minute grace today. Give me 10-minute grace. You know, that's just 10-minute grace. I want to set the stage. Because sometimes we forget to look at the Old Testament experience that Jesus was fulfilling and teaching sometimes and brings us into the moment. And I want to get some richness to my point this morning. I do. Ever go watch a series on TV and you're loving it, and then they do this episode where it's a flashback and you're lost for a second? Like, is that Billy when he was 7? What's going on? He was jumping off an airplane last episode, saving somebody, you know? And they flash you back, and you're a little irritated at first because you want to see what happened. Did Billy hit the ground? You know, we don't know. But that flashback, once we let it play, it gives us perspective on forward. And so I'm going to flash back today in some red letter things to help us project forward to what my point is today. Father, I pray that that would be the case for your glory in Jesus' name. Remember the prophet Elijah? All right. He went to the wilderness, which was cool. He went to the wilderness because his society had gone mad, just insane. Right? Anybody recognize an insane society? Yeah, we can't relate to that. Ours is so peaceful and calm. And the king was actually looking to kill him. So he went to the wilderness, right? Elijah left town, shut off the distractions to find some place in pine. No, I mean to find some place in the mountain to be, to listen for God. Some place that was safe to listen for God. Say there's something about that. So I'm expecting you to go read it at some point in time, the whole story. I'm not going to tell the whole flashback story, but Elijah learned some things from God I wanted to pull into our today. He was out in this cave, and he was running. He was sad, and all of a sudden, there's a violent. God said, go stand in the cave. And the wind was wild, and then there was fire, and then there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in any of it, but a whisper. Go back and read it, but let's drop into 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13 in our flashback. Maybe. Possibly. There they are. Groovy. There, this is Elijah's, okay? Being talking, he is Elijah. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. Dramatic pause. The people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. Torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Ever have that kind of week? Ever have kind of, not maybe that kind of week, but feel like, before I read that, you felt like, I can't wait to tell you about my week. And then I read that, you go, oh, my week was all right. Was, you know. He says this. I love it because God says to him, what are you doing here? And if you're upset New Yorker, you could read this snarkily. Snark-alike. Ready? What do you mean, what am I doing here? They're after me. They're trying to kill me. They tore down, they killed everybody but me. What am I doing here? They're trying to kill me. I'm hiding out here. That's a crazy question, Lord. You know all things. I'm afraid. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by. and a mighty windstorm hit the mountains, and there was such a terrible blast, the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice of God said to him again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" West side, look at the east side. Say, "What are you doing here?" East side, look at the west side. "What are you doing here?" I like that voice. It's a good one. But what are you doing here? Pastor Rome, what does this have to do with Jesus' red letters? Excellent question. Excellent question. Jesus does not always come looking like the package you expect. Jesus does not always come looking like the package you expect. He doesn't waltz in with a white robe and blonde, long, flowing hair, you know? Yeah. Like, if that's how I grew up, you know, if I grew up in my denomination, that's like Jesus. And I read my Bible and go, "I don't think so. Just, I think you're off on some of the details," you know. Jesus does not always look like the package you expect. So hearing his voice is most important. And we're going to talk that Jesus talked about that. But hearing his voice is the most important. He speaks to his disciples, his people, and his kids. And he says, we must learn to hear his voice and recognize his spirit. So often we get comfortable looking at him for other things. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Go to John 10, 27, if you're following with me. John 10, 27. "The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me." Remember last week, without the recap, that word, he wants us to know him, was such a deep, intimate word that the only place you can use it is in a husband-wife relationship. Because there's no other way to express the depth that God wants to be known and wants to know us. "The sheep hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me." Now let's do a dive into our red letters a little deeper, a little further back as we rise to the top. Jesus rose, right? And during his resurrection, there's a lot of crazy things that happened, how he popped into places, right? And I want to stop into a place where he was the gardener for a second in Mary's eyes. Jesus rose and hadn't been seen by anybody yet. So I want to take us back to that moment. John 20, 13 through 15. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Hold up. She's crying her face off. She spent the last 3 years with Jesus. She was one of the few people at the foot of the cross. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. So he's speaking to her. "What are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. Yeah, he'll come to you in humble circumstances sometimes that you dismiss, and God's trying to get your attention. I love her. I hear this New York sassy. Forgive me. She said, "If you've taken him away, tell me where you put him, and I'm going to go get him." I can hear a little Pastor Sharon in that. "Where do you put him?" "Well, I'm going to go get him. I can take any gardener around here." You know, maybe that's not how it was said. I'm sure the Chosen would do a much better version of that, you know. My point today is don't get caught up in looks. Like, when his post-resurrection encounters happened, he could have come any way he wanted to, right? But he chose to pop over and pop in. And we're going to talk about it. Jesus proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'm thinking about this metaphorically. Think about your soul, this statement I'm about to say. He proved he can get behind any closed door. How many of you are closed doors for Jesus parts of your life? Don't bring that here. I heard that. I saw that on TV. I saw my grandmother pour 14 bottles of holy water from the Holy Land. Don't bring that here. My heart was closed off. Jesus is a fraud. Until I ran into Jesus. He can go through any locked doors out there. He walked through. I just want to see if I'm not alone up here. Okay. He proved he can do it. So let's look at the road to Emmaus first. Luke 24, 13 through 16. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked, they discussed these things. Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Why? There's an important point that Jesus was trying to make. Remember, just before the cross, we talked about it in all the episodes before, and now he's making that point even more alive. You're not going to necessarily recognize how I look, but I need you to hear my voice because my sheep will do that. You don't get comfortable with how I used to look, how I used to show up for you. I need you to hear my voice. Even if it doesn't look like me, you need to hear if it is me, okay? Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept him from recognizing him. It's funny to me. These kind of things are funny to me. Dr. Heidi, I was so excited. I was like, hey, this is so funny to me. And I read it to her. She's like, that's not funny. We have different things that are funny. This was just funny to me, not Dr. Heidi. Okay, so don't, if this isn't funny to you, go, we agree with Dr. Heidi. But to me, it's a little funny. Jesus breaks things down before he dips out, and I think it's a little funny. Luke 24 through 25, 25 through 27. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people. Should I close service right there? Can you imagine? Like, edit that from the sermon. Don't, Jesus, that's not Build Your Church 101. Don't go, you foolish people, to people who miss you. You know, like, that's not it. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets they wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses, say deep roots. Took him to the writing of Moses and the prophets and explaining all the scripture, the things concerning himself. Old Testament still matters today. It's deep roots, right? Luke 24, 28. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus at the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going on. See you guys, you know, I don't know. But they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. Okay, sounds good. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it, and then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Boop! Like, boop! Wow. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? He said, we should have recognized that voice. We should have recognized that feeling. When the Holy Spirit, when you're walking with Jesus, you want to feel that and you want to hear that. And that's what he was trying to get to him. You're going to need to know that. Wait, you didn't recognize your form. I kept it from you. Why? Because my voice is what matters most this next season of your life, not how I used to look to you. John 20:19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there in the room. Peace with you, he said. He had to probably say peace because we were like, what? Like, don't pop in on me. Tap me on my back when I'm not looking. I don't swing anymore, but I used to come out swinging. My wife would, like, touch me with a stick because my conditioned response in the environments I was raised in was my first response was a swing. You know? Like, don't pop in on me. Though it's not funny. I would be like, man, you punch Pastor Sharon again? Yeah, she thinks it's funny. She popped in. You know? I told her not to. She's like, how was it? You know? She might punch me back, though. I'm thinking I'm the gardener, you know. He said, peace to you. I want you to recognize his presence, not just his appearance. It's a key to learn how to hear him. Sometimes we go back to familiar. So now we'll drop right where we're supposed to be with red letters, finale, John chapter 1. Flashbacks over. Current time. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. Now, why are they there? He goes back to a familiar place. Full circle, maybe we met First Peter and his crew. Sometimes when you can't find Jesus, like if you're trying to hear him, you're like, I just can't. Ever have you guys like, no, like we're always tapped in. We hear him constantly. Pastor, that's alarming that you can't. No, I hear him a lot, but there's moments where, Lord, what are you saying? I don't know what to do. Should I get the Philly cheesesteak or not? You know? And the fries? Good call, Lord. But sometimes, if you have a hard time getting to them, hear this point, because I may flip it, invert it later in a way. Go back to where you first saw him. Go back into his word where he always is. And start in the basics. Keep it simple. All right. So Jesus goes back to Galilee, finds the guys. This is how it happened. John 21, 2 through 3. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Now, when I read that verse, it sounds like when Dr. Heidi asked me, who's at men's meeting? Like, there's Mark, and then the next thing was Dale, and then over there's Pastor Justin. You know, I'm listing off the dudes, you know? Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. You know why Simon Peter said that? That was his identity before. Jesus is gone. I'm going back to what's familiar. I mean, that was a great ride those 3 years. Man, I was serving God. I was doing changing my family. I was doing a lot, man. But then I can't hear him. He just kind of popped out. I don't know where he is. So I'm just going to go back and do what I used to do. How many feel that comfortability? But that's what Peter said. I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. We'll all do it. Let's just all go back to what it used to be, I guess. So they went out into the boat. But guess what? They caught nothing all night. Here's a point to ponder if you're a note taker. The familiar past was no longer going to be productive or satisfying. The familiar past was no longer to be productive or satisfying like it used to be. Once you ran into Jesus, you can go back as much as you want, but a lot of nothing's there. A lot of nothing's there. They have a new life to live. He needed to remind them. John 21:4. At dawn, at first light, Jesus was standing on the beach. But the disciples couldn't see who he was. Maybe it was just morning hazy, you know? Could have been. It's important, you know? You can't always expect him to look like situations just like we think he should. You know, you're in the familiar, but maybe. It's time to listen to his voice, and he's going to start picking that through them more and more, all of them. They got to learn to slow ourselves down and listen to him. It is the hardest thing in our life to slow ourselves down to listen. Most of us have a million questions and a million wants, but how much do we slow down and listen? And I'm saying this prophetically to the body of Christ. It is listening season. It is digging deeper with him so you can hear his voice. Why? So that you have him right there with you the next season. Don't get caught in the familiar. It's not time to be caught in what's familiar. Listen for him. Say, I promise I will, because I'm the church now. Okay, again, this is funny to me. It's not Dr. Heidi, okay? There's a Greek word for fellows in this next verse I'm going to read. And the word fellows actually means young children, little kids, infant-like toddlers. That's what it is. John 21, 5 through 6. So he's on the beach, right? The guys are fishing. They're not catching anything, right? And he calls out to them. He calls out to them, fellows, have you caught any fish? Hey, kids, little ones, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. He said it to them before in Luke 5, 8. Jesus first said to Simon, remember, he said, drop your nets. After fishing all night, they were getting skunked. They weren't really good at their jobs, you know. But Simon did what was asked. Now, the cool thing in this, if he got this fellows, hey, little kids, and this older gentleman, it's rare that, you know, someone your age calls you, hey, little toddler. So maybe they were respecting his elders. There's something to be said about that. But what he asked them to do doesn't make any fishing logic. I mean, the widest the boat could have been, maybe 10 feet. So dropping the net on either side really is not an excellent, oh, we should have thought of that. We should have gone left. We're all going right all night. You know, I don't think it was that. Jesus asked them to do it again because they were getting skunked. But he did it against his better judgment. And the nets became full. Peter was on his way to being born again in this moment again. Jesus told him the first time. The first time they met, Jesus said this to him. Clear as can be. You can go back and read it. Peter, you won't be known for fishing for men, fishermen, being as a fisherman anymore. You won't be known as a fisherman. You're going to become a fisher of men. Like, follow me, but you're not going to be a fisherman anymore. But that's what I grew up with. My father was a fisherman. He was a fisherman beforehand. My village is about fishermen. Actually, I got a tattoo. It says fisherman on there. What do I do now? He said, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be a fisherman anymore. Jesus called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. The point to ponder is, God will often dry up what you rely on that's not him. God will often dry up what you rely on that is not him. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat. Okay. Then he said, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. So he did it. It's a better judgment, I'm sure. And they couldn't haul the net because there were so many fish. John 21, 7 through 8. Then, as the result of after they got the fish, they were not getting fish. They were unproductive. The guy said, hey, fellows, do this. Like, all right. And they did it. And whoo, then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Why? Because he recognized the results. They didn't recognize the guy, and I'm going to prove it later in Scripture. They did not recognize the guy, and they're learning to recognize the voice, but he definitely recognized the results. So don't call things that are good evil, right? I didn't look like, but there's fruit from that. Well, there shouldn't be a tattoo ministry. I don't care what you think, bro. I'm not inked. I can say it, but if someone had it, people get saved. No matter how you feel about it. I know. Get back to the pulpit. I see your eyes. The disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he was stripped for work, and jumped into the water and headed to shore. Sounds like an excited Peter move. Like, it's the Lord, I'm in, you know, takes off. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to shore. And they're about 100 yards from shore. So Peter swam 100 yards. He was so excited because Jesus was there. He jumped, right? The other guy's like, okay, we got your workload. Okay, maybe his form was the same. Maybe 100 yards was too far for them to see. Like, oh, you know, back then they all needed glasses and they just couldn't see. It's easier to swim 100 yards and see 100 yards. You don't know how, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was foggy. Or maybe he's getting them to get used to listening for him and look for his fruit. John 21, 9 through 14. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. You know, he didn't need their fish. Ready for another discipleship lesson if you're taking notes? A small one. It's your job to catch the fish for him. It's best to let him clean and prepare them. You're the fisher for people's lives with your life, but it's not your job to clean them up. It's not your job to clean them. It's not, I got to prepare you for church. Why? Because you're messy. Let me just fix you. No, no, no. You just bring them to Jesus. Why? He's going to prepare them. He's going to prepare them. I mean, remember when you came in to Jesus? He's working on me, sand and stuff, right? I still got a hook in my jaw, you know? He's working on me all the time. Yeah. I think disciples, sometimes we want to bring people to Jesus, and we was like, we're going to teach you the lessons of sanctification. No, bring them to Jesus, and he'll bring them sanctification lessons. Bring them to authentic Jesus, and he'll love them to want to become more sanctified because they're going to be in love with that relationship. They don't need you chiseling on them. And that doesn't mean we don't share truth when it's truth time. 100% of what doesn't get said never gets heard. So there are things we need to say, but it's not our job to prepare the people that we run into. It is our job to give them Jesus the lure, right? Bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. You know what Simon Peter did? Like, I don't know, as guys, it's funny to me. These are things that are funny, right? We're hauling the fish in. We get them all on the boat. And all of a sudden, Peter dips and swims out like that. Oh. we rowed ashore, one last guy. I wonder if they're like, man, we're going to keep going left because Peter's not on the right. Come on. And they get to shore, right? And Peter's the one that drags the net because they're like, hey, go bring the fish. And I bet the guys are like, Peter, we did our job without you. Go get it. I don't know. Just been a guy before. I would have made my buddy do it, you know. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet, saying yet, and yet the net had not torn. The fishing net of God is strong enough to catch any size and any number of fish. Don't worry about the fish. Kings need Jesus. The sign guy at Walmart needs Jesus. Churches can be 5,000. That's great. I hope they grow and grow and grow. Any number of size net is not... He can catch any number of fish. It's irrelevant. There's no limits, just like doors and locks, right? Now come and have some breakfast, he said. Jesus said, come and have some breakfast. Jesus said, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? I would really worry about your medical condition if I was greeting you after church today. Like, and who are you? Bro, I introduced myself as Pastor Sean. You've been hanging out. You've been here at church a minute. And who are you again? None of them dared ask, who are you? Why would there be a wonder if he looked exactly the same? They perceived. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. They perceived it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and fish. That word in the Greek, knew it was the Lord, means to perceive, to understand beyond face value. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he'd been raised from the dead. Say, knowing him is vital. I have a slide, I think. Possibly. Maybe not. There should be a slide, but there may not be a slide. Knowing him and his ways and his voice is better than the things that look like him. Knowing him and his ways and his voice is better than the things that just look like him. I've seen a lot of things that just look like Jesus. When I got up to it, I went, man, I'm sad that I came here. It looked like Jesus, but when I got close to it, it didn't sound like him, nor were his ways being produced. I've been that before in my life for Jesus. I'm trying to be with him. I wasn't right. All of us hope we're doing a better Jesus reflection than we were yesterday. That's the goal, right? Seek him. Take time. Carve it out daily. I'm telling you, this is the season to carve out daily time for him. Place above attending church, you reading his Bible and listening for his voice. Now, if it shouldn't be an either or, but if it's either or for you, this is a season I'd rather you read your Bible and I'd rather you listen for his voice. And if you're listening to a sermon, whether it's me or anybody else, we should try to be listening for what God's saying to us anyways, particularly, right? I mean, you'd be shocked the number of people on Sunday when I hug them at the door, the different things people say that God was saying to you that wasn't even in the message, but God said it to you, you know? And so listening is so important. Say, I'm his church. Right, John 21:15-17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Am I your priority?
Am I your priority?
He said, yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. And Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I've read this many times over the years. I get something different every time, or new. How about that? I wonder, before in the past when I first read that, I go, I wonder if Jesus was asking Peter three times to redeem him because the last time Peter said three things in a row was denial. I don't know him. Do you love me? Yeah. I do. Erase one denial. I'm trying to help you with your scars. I'm trying to help you with your confession. I'm trying to help you with your past. I'm trying to bring this question up over and over again. Do you love me? Why? Because when you didn't, that moment you didn't, that's where you got that stuff. Do you love me? Yes. I want to erase that. Maybe. It's one, could be one thing. I don't know. Maybe he tells them three times because three times establishes clarity. I don't want you to forget this. I want to tell you three times. But I'll tell you this. Jesus is definitely reminding Peter of his new purpose. Yeah, right. Remember, you're not going to be a fisherman anymore. And you just had a successful catch. But this will be the last time you're fishing. You won't find another place in the gospel where he goes fishing again. That's his job. That was his identity. That was his life. And Jesus said, you're never going to do that again. You're going to feed my lambs. Today, for those choosing to become a disciple of Jesus Christ in baptism, have you let him redeem your sin? Let him wipe it out. Are you ready to live for his purpose? Let him give you purpose.
Right.
It's time to cultivate a heart for listening. Red letters, more continued. John 24. 21, 18 through 19, sorry. I tell you the truth, Peter. When you were young, you were able to do exactly as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands and others are going to dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. So he pulled Peter aside in this moment and said, now that you recognize me and I've forgiven you and I got a job for you to do, but I'm going to tell you a job for me is going to cost your life, Peter. Remember you said, I give my life for you, you're going to. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he glorified God. Jesus said to Peter, it's going to cost you. Then Jesus told him, follow me. A new life, a new job, a new expectation. John 21, 20. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned on Jesus' chest during supper. And check out this question. What do you think he's going to ask? What's the next thing? See, in my head, I always read it. He asks about John first, but he doesn't. He says, Lord, he looks back at John and the guys and says, Lord, who will betray you? Why? Well, if you're walking with 12 guys for 3 years, you've laid your life down with somebody and you get stabbed in the back by a brother and you didn't expect it, not a minute, you betrayed Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you betrayed Jesus. We walked together. So arm in arm, we did stuff, miracles, signs, what did we walk? And he stuck you in the back? Like, who else do I got to expect that from? Anybody else have triggers? They call it church hurt sometimes. Like, I can see if you're walking, I'd ask him, hey, you need to give me a heads up, man. Next guy, why? Because I'll take him out early. You know what I'm saying? A little bit. Peter turned, I should have got off the stage, it's my fault. Peter turned around and saw them, the disciple who Jesus loved, and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Maybe he's triggered. Sometimes disciples got stuff to work through. Maybe he is triggered. And God's going to ask him to trust people unto death. We got to learn to let some of those hurts be healed. I'm talking from a guy who's looking for the exits. There are things that we look back and go, who's going to betray me next? If you have courage, raise your hand. You ever feel that way? Yeah. Peter understood. Forgiving can be hard, especially if you've been violated by somebody close. Forgiveness can be hard, especially if you're violated by somebody close. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who leaned over to Jesus during the supper, and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, and what about him, Lord? You ready for a little note? There's a big lesson. Please try to hear it as best you can. If you have trouble with others or what you think is fair, stop asking about what other people are supposed to do. That's a problem. Well, men's breakfast. Well, what's Jake doing? I just asked for your coming. You know, could you do the grill? What about Jake? No, don't ask about Jake. Stay on the stage. I got it. Thank you. But we look back, and so often it's easy to see what other people aren't doing. is so often easy to see because it's easy. I can walk into a restaurant and tell you who's not doing their job. I can drive in a 60 and tell you who doesn't know how to drive. I'm just telling you, I know things. You could get in there and you can start going, what about that? You can watch a message and get something from Jesus out of it or 15 critical notes. You have trouble with others and what's fair. Stop asking about what other people are supposed to do. Stop asking how others are doing with their assignments. Concentrate on what he told you. This is talking to Peter. It's heavy. I'm not saying this to you guys. This is what he's saying to Peter. Because Peter had a problem with triggers about betrayal. Peter had a problem with what's that guy going to do? You just told me I'm going to die. What's John, happy John, laying on your shoulder, buddy John, going to do? That was actually our boat we're all in, you know. You're going to ask me to die? Well, John, what's he going to do? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? Say, none ya. None ya business. If I want, whatever I want to do, he says, none ya. That's a little snarky to me. I did hear that little New York, you know. If I want to be alive forever, what's that to you? None ya. As for you, Peter, follow me. Don't worry about his assignment. You follow me. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. It's a good place to pause. Some place to be careful. Be careful what you think that Jesus said to somebody else. Be careful what you think that Jesus said to somebody else. Did you hear what Jesus said to you? That's what I was preaching this morning. Do you hear what he said? Do you hear what he said to you? Oh, I saved that one. Yeah. I put it on your phone for you in case you want to listen to it later. You know, it's right there. I took the notes. Yeah. Pastor's coming over, lady. Actually, we had a good meeting, you know. Rumor spread in the community of believers. Shocking. That the disciple wouldn't die. Stop interpreting what Jesus said to other people. We got to hear him for our own life, and we got to work with that, right? So the rumor spread among the community of believers that the disciple wouldn't die, but that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want. Here's a lesson number, whatever it is for today, if you're writing them down. I think it's number 3. Whatever he wants, you need to be okay with. Man, I got the worst fortune cookie last week. Man, I came home, ready to celebrate Dr. Heidi's birthday last week. We're getting in the pool. I didn't have to cook. Cleaning up after Chinese food. Easy. Leftover Chinese food is good, at least for one more day. I was vibing, you know? And everybody's got their fortune cookies. Ha, ha, ha. I opened the last one. So I go, that's mine. I always take that because that's mine. You know, I'll grab it. And it said, be okay with whatever happens daily. Be okay with whatever happens. Accept what happens daily. Well, man. I'm never opening a fortune cookie again. And then I'm reading this, right? I'm reading this like, yeah, I just sit back in my head all the time going, you hurt your foot? Yeah, deal with it. Okay, all right. You're driving to Tucson? A Saturday? Yeah, you'll be okay with it. I'm okay. Climbing to a dark cave? Yeah, I'm okay. Accept it daily, you know? But whatever he wants, we need to be okay with. We're not often okay with it. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? The disciple who testifies about these events and recorded them. So John's writing this down. Like, I remember you said that, Peter. Remember we busted you? Like your friends. No one could get you like your friends. You know, forever. Remember when Jesus like called you out after resurrection? Remember that time you're like, what about him? And Jesus went, what about you? Yeah, I'm writing that down. For all time, it's the word of God, you know. Disciple who testifies about these events has recorded them here. Again, that's only funny to me. Okay. And we know that this account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. So here's our concentration point. This season especially, do what he asks of you. Just of you. Listen for what he wants of you. You know, I'm sure he's not going to ask you for the heads of 1,000 Philistines. Yeah, I'm sure he's not going to say, you know, but he is going to ask something. And that ask, how we respond, changes our life forever. And disciples respond to it, even if it's hard. So I want to pray, maybe you've never accepted Jesus, or maybe, you know, I'm supposed to get baptized today, and I'm not dressed, but I know that's me. Or I want to pray for you. As William, can William be extracted? Come forth, William, you know. I want to pray for the baptism candidate, who's William. And if that's you, I'm praying for you too. But the biggest thing I'm asking this series to have done, and I don't know what I'm speaking next week because I miscalculated. But I do know this is the season that he's asking for deeper knowing. Like, he's asking for you to know him deeper. Some saints, like, Ed, how long have you been serving God again? 462 years. 462 for him. 462, yeah. He's going for Methuselah numbers. That's where he's headed, you know? No, but no matter how long you've been serving him, or maybe you just got saved not long ago, right? Come up with me, brother. You might want to get used to this view, actually. Yeah, you might need to get used to this view. God's going to do some changing in your heart. Because disciples like being branded, dude. Like, you're being jumped in. He's going to ask hard things of you, things that are not easy. Just like Peter, right? Yeah, he's like, I'm ready. He's my worship guy up front. You know, he's my guy. He's my guy. And so we're going to pray for William. And if you want to be baptized with William, you'll share it, right? Good. Yeah, he'd love that. I'll have you guys meet me in my office over there. But before we do that, I want to pray us out. And I hope that your well gets so deep this year. Father, I pray that you would take their wells deeper. Their knowing you, Father, would be so sweet and intimate this year. Like, you could whisper at the mouth of the cave. Even if there's a storm raging around them, Lord God, and life circumstances are just coming, and bombs are flying over the world, and tragedies are happening, people are twisting their ankles, Lord, but that doesn't matter. We would hear your voice in the midst of the storm, and none other would we follow. We would be your branded people, Lord God. Those of us that have been baptized, Father, been put into your kingdom, we are grateful for your forgiveness and for your new life. Do greater things than William that you've even done in us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.